Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.
We recently heard the case of the court clerk who died aged 23, leaving her 68-year-old boyfriend, the magistrate, and her mother to both claim her superannuation benefit. The boyfriend was able to challenge the mother for the superannuation because he was classified under super law as her dependent. The mother argued that the daughter had specified that she had wanted her to have the money. Due to technicalities within super, the boyfriend was awarded the money by the super trustee. This was a case that sparked a lot of discussion in our office. Aside from the 45-year age difference and the fact that the magistrate returned to his ex-partner after the death of the young court clerk, the discussion in our office revolved mainly around the superannuation and beneficiary roles, questioning why her mum was denied the benefit payment by the superannuation trustee. Today I have Peter Bobbin, principal lawyer from Coleman Greig Lawyers, with me to talk about how this could happen and how you can better prepare for the worst with your own super. Welcome, Peter. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's always good to get a legal opinion on serious money issues.
You're welcome. Thank you. I look forward to discussing what I think is a seriously important issue.
So please tell me, because my office was completely consumed by this case. It just seemed so unfair. How did it happen?
To be honest, how it happened is because the deceased didn't think through what is an important part of their estate. Now, this is very common, I have to say, for those in the roughly less than 35 age bracket, because they just don't think about their superannuation as something that may be valuable. And yet, for the vast majority of them, because of insurance that many don't really quite appreciate is part of their superannuation, their superannuation really is quite valuable. Now, what didn't happen on this occasion was just working out how and where the superannuation needs to be applied. Because had some little bit of estate planning, a forethought been given to it, there's a whole range of steps that could have been taken where she could have caused the superannuation to go exactly where she wants it to go. But by doing nothing, it meant that the trustee of her superannuation fund, and for some people that'll be multiple because they have multiple super fund memberships, the trustee of the superannuation fund has to make the decision themselves. And, well, they have to choose between everybody that puts their hand up. And those people who can put their hand up are essentially what's known as dependents. And this area of dependents includes anyone in a de facto relationship, but it's anybody that's in a form of de facto relationship without the necessary 2 years. So for family law purposes, a facto relationship requires a minimum cohabitation of 2 years. But for superannuation death benefit law purposes, there's no time. Also, if someone is financially dependent, so if they can prove a couple of these bases upon which they had a relationship with the deceased, they can put their hand up. And if there's no one else available, the superannuation fund trustee must pay them, which is what happened in this case.
So are we seeing more cases of superannuation benefits being challenged legally?
Very much so. This area is, I have to say, one of the greatest litigation growth areas in Australia at the present. It really is. That's why in the very beginning I said this is such an important issue. And you can tell that this is an important litigation growth area when you, in different parts of Australia, you've got lawyers that are advertising for people who can make superannuation death benefit claims.
Wow. So who can actually be named as a beneficiary for your super?
So this is really very important for people to understand. The very first point is that superannuation generally is not part of a person's estate. That's very important to understand. It's not part of a person's estate. It can be. You can make it part of your estate, but you need to actively make it so. If you don't make it so, then the trustee of the super fund chooses among what's commonly described as dependents, just who gets that super. And it's that category of dependents that's important for each person when they want to identify who they want their super to go to. Now, a dependent for superannuation law purposes, the first one is as a spouse. And as we just discussed a moment ago, a spouse in this sense is not merely someone that's legally married under the Marriage Act. It's not merely someone who's in a formal registered relationship, but it's also someone who lives with you. I'm talking about you, the superannuation member. It's also someone who lives with you on a bona fide domestic basis as a couple without any reference to time. So quite literally, if someone were to move in with you, you, the superannuation member, then from that night of them moving in, or from that night from when you are holding yourself out to the world at large as living as a couple, that person falls within the meaning of the word dependent. Now, this category of dependent, so just to reflect again, we have this concept of spouse, which is legal marriage, registered relationship, or living together as a couple with an almost instant effect. Then it goes on to children of any age. Superannuation law meaning of dependent is children of any age. And that extends to stepchildren, I might add. It also extends to someone who's living in a close personal interdependent relationship. And it extends to where there's a financial dependence. All of those category of persons fall within the meaning of the word dependent. Any of those is whom a superannuation member can commonly nominate, to receive their superannuation in the unfortunate event of their death. And the other category of where you, the superannuation member, can direct your superannuation to is, of course, your own personal estate. That's where your will take over.
So a lot of people, like especially young single people, don't have a will. And does it still help if they nominate their super is paid to their estate?
Look, the answer is yes, it does. I mean, the fact that a young person does not have a will doesn't mean that they can't create that level of control over the superannuation and where they wish it to go. If a person does not have relationships, then the common rule across Australia, if a person also does not have a will, is these principles of intestacy will apply. And what you can rely upon as far as intestacy is concerned is that whatever the person has will go to their immediate family members. It'll go past to parents, if the parents are both alive or the survivor of them. If not, then it'll pass to sibling and so forth. So by creating a nomination that I want my super to go to my estate, even if a person doesn't have a will, they're effectively saying, I want it to go to my family. So yes, it is a good thing to do.
So just to be clear, people should still fill out a binding death nomination with their super, either to a person or their estate, to ensure their superannuation trustees are locked into what to do with their super in the event of the death of the member. Is that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And the important phrase you raised then, Julia, was binding superannuation death benefit nomination. Commonly, there are two types. There is just a standard nomination, which is equivalent to this is what I wish to happen, but you, trustee, you make the decision. Or we go one level higher and we say binding. And that way we lock it in and the superannuation member chooses where their superannuation goes. in the absence of that, someone else is making that decision.
And so does a binding death nomination last forever?
So binding death benefit nominations are very superannuation fund unique. That's an important point. They're very superannuation fund unique. Now, what can be taken from that is confidence in how they work, because they work with the members' superannuation fund. The vast majority nowadays are capable of lasting. That is to say, they don't need to be updated. But it just may be that a person's superannuation fund is of a nature that it has a style of death benefit nomination that lapses every 3 years, because there is a form of that where it automatically lapses every 3 years. Once we find out just what type of superannuation death benefit nomination you're available to make, then the process then gets implemented so as to make sure it's done in a way in which you, the superannuation member, need it to happen.
So if it is a binding death nomination that is forever, should you still review it?
Like everything in good estate planning, everybody should take a little bit of time just to review what they've done, what decisions they've made, just to give some thought to, well, what's happened in my life? And is there anything that's happened in my life, commonly new relationships or perhaps old broken relationships, where it's appropriate just to update it? So, yes, this is never a set and forget. It's a set and review.
Does marriage or divorce override your super death benefit nomination?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And this re-emphasises that point that superannuation is not part of an estate. Marriage can cancel automatically a will. Divorce can cancel that part of a will that related to the divorced former partner. But no, it doesn't operate like that as far as superannuation death benefits are concerned. So, as I said a moment ago, a new relationship, an ending of an old relationship, these are all trigger points for readdressing just how that superannuation is to be managed.
Peter, to go back to who can be a dependent and how you can leave your money to your estate, you can't leave your money to a sibling through your superannuation nomination. You need to do that through your estate. Is that correct?
Yes, look, that's absolutely right. So we expressed a moment ago just who is a dependent. So let's put a little bit of context around this. Can a sibling be a dependent? Well, look, they can, but it's usually not common. It's almost to the point of, well, it's rare. So if I wanted my sibling, my brother, my sister, or collectively to get my superannuation, the best way for me to do it, filling in a nomination simply will not work. What we'll end up with is, in fact, an invalid nomination, which means the trustee is back to making the decision. And, when it's the trustee making the decision, that's where those litigation cases come from. So if I want a sibling to get my superannuation, one of the best ways to do that is in combination with having a will and having that binding death benefit nomination. Maybe I don't want my sibling to get it, I want my parents to get it. Unless the parent or parents are in fact financially dependent on the superannuation member, then they too do not fall within this narrow meaning of this word dependent for superannuation law purposes. So if I want one of my parents, perhaps I'd prefer my mother, or perhaps I'd prefer my father, because that's where I have the stronger relationship, to receive my superannuation, then it would be very appropriate, very simple, to complete a binding death benefit nomination that says I want my super to go to my estate, and then have a will. And that will can simply say any superannuation that comes into my estate is to go to my father, my brother, my sister, whomsoever is that choice.
Peter, when you have these challenges that are coming up with younger people, perhaps, what sort of money are we looking at that might be contested through the superannuation death benefit?
Look, it's commonly hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's the reality. Even young people who've got their first part-time job in a restaurant or a cafe, who've got one of those jobs in McDonald's or Kmart, they'll find, because of Australia's compulsory superannuation contributions, which has actually expanded in the last budget. So in budget 2021, they've announced that people who earn less than $450, would no superannuation contribution need be made for them. So now that's even opened up even more. So I actually find there'll be more people that will be becoming members of superannuation, and they may be as young as 15, 16, 17 years of age, and certainly they're young adults as well. And commonly, the life insurance that's attached to their superannuation will be in the multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is why many don't understand that there's just a small amount of $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 or $15,000 of a credit balance in their superannuation fund. But the life insurance component, it can be many hundreds of thousands. And again, where there's death and where there's money, there can be a dispute. And where there's a dispute, there'll be lawyers. But you can avoid all of that by putting a little bit of careful planning in place. And commonly, as we've discussed, just a binding death benefit nomination to my estate and a will ensure that a person actually achieves what they want.
So, Peter, practically speaking, what do you suggest people who are listening do right now?
You know, really, this is so simple. The vast bulk of superannuation funds all have internet connections. You can look up your own superannuation fund. Look, you can look up your own membership. Now, you may not be aware of your own membership number. Do you know every 6 months you'll get a superannuation statement from your superannuation fund? Keep hold of it next time. Jump onto that Superfund website, go into your own member account and have a look at the level of life insurance that's there. Also, look up the binding death benefit nomination form. Quite simply, if you are a member of CBUS or HostPlus or CommBank or any of those superannuation funds, put the name of your superannuation fund into that Google search, type in binding death benefit nomination, put in the letters PDF, and your top hits is going to be the very form you need to fill in and complete, as well as instructions and guidance on how to do it. So one of the very first steps, take some positive action. Just jump on the internet and look at your own superannuation fund membership.
Peter, we did talk a lot about young people and the need for young people to, when they get started, to nominate someone. What about other people? You know, do we have statistics on who else needs to update their details?
Well, when you look at, let's look at divorce statistics in Australia. By and large, one in three first marriages fail and one in two second marriages fail. And you might ask, why bother thereafter? But the observation there is that when there's a broken relationship, that's a trigger point for revisiting this point. I mean, I can say many years ago now, as you are aware, I am a lawyer and in our law firm, we're acting on behalf of the wife of a divorcing party, and there was another law firm acting on behalf of the husband. And it was terribly, terribly acrimonious, which, of course, means very expensive. And then he died, and the whole of his superannuation went to her. That's the point I'm making. And let's look at it from another perspective. So this is not merely for young people. This is for people of all ages. But also think a little bit further with other relationships. So an important person to get this done may not be you. It may be someone that's connected or associated to you. So an adult child with an adult older parent who's in a second relationship. If that older parent, that father or mother in a new relationship, does not have a binding death benefit superannuation nomination, either to their estate and then it's controlled by the will or as they might otherwise direct, it's very possible that their superannuation may just go with that stepfather or stepmother, with that new relationship. Now, of course, if that's what they want to happen, that's fine. But it's all about making positive choice. Parents can be, so not merely the young, parents can be saying to their teenage or their 20-something or their 30-something, what have you done about your superannuation? Everybody should be looking after everybody else.
So, Peter, if I was with a partner and we both had, this is our second relationship and we've both got kids, can I nominate my child in my binding death nomination, even though they're not technically a dependent if they're adult children anymore?
Most certainly you can. And if that's what you want, if what you want is your lifetime of superannuation savings to pass to your children, not to your new partner, and that's something that you and your new partner have agreed, make it so. Make it happen. Get that binding death benefit nomination in place.
Thank you so much for joining us, Peter. It's been a joy talking to you again.
You're very welcome. I look forward to further opportunities. Thank you, Julia.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au.